Peter and John were on their way to the temple in the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to pray. They encountered a man who had been crippled there, and he had asked them for support, for silver, for a handout. They said, "We don't have anything to give you, but we give you what we have. We give you in the name of Jesus, rise and walk." And Jesus, and through the power of Jesus, they had healed him. A whole crowd had gathered together to see that what was, they were amazed at what happened and God had done. Peter and John had preached to them a message of salvation. And while they were still preaching, as a result of this healing, we pick up the story as we move into chapter 4. The priest and the captain of the guard and the Sanhedrins came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power or what name do you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple, and you ask how he was healed, then know this, that you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is a stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given by man by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled and ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the men who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then confer together. "What are we going to do with these men?" they ask. "Everybody living in Jerusalem knows that they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any farther among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name." Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourself whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." And after further threats, they let them go because they could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who had been miraculously healed was over 40 years old. Here ends the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray together? Our Father, we thank you for your word and for your truth. And I pray this morning, as we look into your word, that you would increase our boldness, that you would give us the strength of your spirit to stand strong in a world that is hostile to you, that we would not be afraid to speak your name boldly and proclaim the name of Jesus, that there is no other way, there is no other name through which we are saved than the name of Jesus Christ. So thank you, Lord, for providing that way for us and through your spirit that gives us that boldness and courage to stand for you. So speak to us through your word today, and we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Has there ever been a time in your life when you felt fearful or intimidated? Have you ever been questioned on your faith and you were afraid or didn't know what to say or afraid to stand up or speak up because you felt that you were alone? It's easy for us together to come here as a church family where everybody loves the Lord and to boldly sing our faith to the Lord and boldly stand up for Jesus and to make our faith known. But when we are out in the world where people are hostile to the faith, it's harder. And so oftentimes we remain silent. There was a time in my life that I was intimidated when I was just young as a pastor, well, going through the training process for licensing and ordination. And I had to go before what was called then the Conference Relations Committee. Now it's called the Board of Examiners. And they brought me, I had to go into the room, and I walked into the room, and around this big table, long table, was about 15 guys, men all in their dark suits with their glasses pulled down over the end of their gloves, and they're asking me these theological questions, and I was supposed to answer them. I'll tell you, it was very, very intimidating. And when they're being questioned and brought before the authorities, and I have to give an answer. There's other times that, too, I have not been too bold. Where I've been out in the world, and I've been out where I hear people speaking and the name of Jesus being taken in vain. Have you ever had that where the name of Jesus is taken in vain? It just goes through me. And as much as I hate that, and there's times that I should speak up and say, that's Jesus, my Lord, you're insulting, but I remain quiet out of fear. Have you ever done it? And not have the bold, the courage to speak up when we should, when the name of Jesus is being assaulted. We are called to be bold as a lion and to be fearful and have courage in our faith and to be strong and have courage. And we're to be bold as believers in the world today, but so often we're timid. And often instead of being bold as a lion, often we are like this. We are the cowardly lion. Can you relate to that? That instead of speaking, we remain silent. And how we wish we could maybe have that boldness and have the courage. And we may sing about it. And we may say, oh, I wish I had the courage to take my stand. But often we stay silent. When babies are being killed, do we speak up? Or do we just, not to make waves, we just remain silent and don't say a word? The scripture says in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1, that the wicked run away when no one is chasing them, but the godly are as bold as lions. God calls us to be as bold as a lion. And a bold Christian is not afraid to live by God's standards, to stand up for Christ, and to live all out for Jesus, no matter the cost, and regardless what anyone may say, think, or do about us. That's what God calls us to be. Not being afraid to live by God's standards, to stand up for Christ, and to live all out for Jesus, no matter what the cost, regardless of what someone may say, think, or do about us. No matter what the world says, no matter how we're treated out there, but to be bold for Jesus and to stand strong and courageous for him. But so often, we melt away. In the scripture this morning, we see it, Peter and John, as they had healed the man who had been crippled at the temple. They were brought before the Sanhedrin while they were preaching about Jesus. They were arrested by the temple guards because they didn't like them teaching about Jesus and the resurrection. And they were brought before the temple guards and the Sanhedrin. Now remember, this was the same group. John, Luke tells us that Caiaphas was there, the high priest. Annas, this was the same people that Jesus had stood before and had condemned Jesus to death not too long before. The same people that Jesus had stood trial over and commanded that he be and ordered his crucifixion. Now Peter and John are brought before them again and threatened and told not to speak in the name of Jesus. But this time Peter stands up and says, if we're being called into account for preaching in the name of Jesus, know this, that it's in the name of Jesus who you crucified that this man was healed. And they said, salvation is found in none other than him. And Peter and John this time were bold. And they stood in before them bold in their faith and say, well, what made the difference? What led to boldness? As we look at this scripture together, we're going to discover several principles and how we can learn to be bold as a lion and where that boldness in Christ comes from. First, boldness comes from being filled with the Spirit. Notice what it says here in verse 8. Peter, filled with the Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called to account today. And he stood up and had courage and boldness to speak proudly and strongly the name of Jesus because he was filled with the Spirit. It wasn't too long ago when Jesus was standing trial before the same group of the Sanhedrin. Peter was warming himself by a fire, trying to keep warm, listening to what was going on the outside. And a little girl came to him, remember, and said, "You're one of those followers of Jesus, aren't you?" And what did Peter do? Out of fear, he said, No, I don't know the guy. I have no idea who you're talking about. And he cowered in fear 3 times. Now he's standing boldly before the same group of Sanhedrin, boldly proclaiming the name of Jesus. What made the difference? It says he was filled with the Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit isn't controlling our life, he gives us boldness. Jesus said that we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And he gives us the strength to stand. He gives us the strength to speak up when we are full of his, when he is controlling us and becomes the controlling influence of our life. Paul said to Timothy, who Timothy was a young pastor who we understand was timid and struggled a lot with timidity in his faith and was afraid to speak up for Christ. And Paul said to him, "For God did not give us a spirit that makes us timid, but he gives us the spirit of power, love, and self-discipline." So when the Holy Spirit was in us, he gives us the power that we need. Jesus said, "Don't worry when you stand before others what to say, because the Holy Spirit will give you the words." And when the Holy Spirit is filling us and becomes the controlling influence in our life, he enables us to be bold and to take our stand courageously in a world that is against him. To stand alone if we must in a world that is hostile to God and say, "I love Jesus and I am not ashamed of him. And I lift high the name of Christ." When we are filled with the Spirit, we have boldness. Second, boldness comes from being with Jesus. Notice what it says in verse 13. It says, "When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized they were unschooled and ordinary men." These men were the religious leaders. They were the experts in the law, the high priest and all the experts in the law. They were the religious leaders. But they realized that Peter and John were still ordinary, unschooled men, but they realized that they had been with Jesus. They didn't know Jesus, but they knew enough that by seeing Peter and John's life, that they could tell that the influence of Jesus had influenced them. And by being with Jesus, gave them boldness. If you and I want to become bold in our faith for Jesus and not being afraid to take our stand, we need to spend time with him. When we are with Jesus, we become like him, and his likeness and boldness gives us strength and courage. Being with Christ, spending time with him. Joshua 1:9 says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And he gives us the courage and boldness. Third, boldness comes from being confident in the truth. As Peter and John were called into question by the authorities, and they said, "Well, what authority do you have to heal this man? Under what name?" And Peter said, "It is by the name of Jesus Christ, and who you crucified, who you rejected, who God has made the capstone. It is in the authority of his name. Salvation is found in no other but him, and it's Jesus Christ's power that made him whole." And they courageously proclaimed the truth because they were confident in it. And they knew Jesus. They knew Jesus was Lord. And they were confident in the fact that he was the truth. And because they could stand strong in that. When you and I are confident in the fact that we know that this is the very truth of God, that this is his word, it gives us confidence to take our stand, friends, because we are standing on boldly on the truth of God that cannot be denied. Say you're at home in your house and a salesman comes to your door And he knocks on your door, and you open it up, and there's this salesman standing there. He's selling vacuum cleaners. Not insurance, Nick, but vacuum cleaners. And he comes to you, and he rings the bell, and you answer it, and he says, it's hello, and he sheepishly says to you, you wouldn't really want to buy a vacuum cleaner now, would you? If he did that, would you would incline, no, I wouldn't, and you'd close the door. Because a good salesman is confident in his product. And he would come up and say, I got a vacuum cleaner, and this is the best thing. I know it's going to improve your life because it's going to make it so much easier for you, and I believe in this product, and I'm confident it will help you. Right, Nick? And that's how it is with Christ. When we know we're confident that what we have and who we know is what people need, right? And we know that people are lost. And without Jesus, they're heading to hell. And we have boldness because we know and are confident in the very truth of God. And we have a living Savior. Peter says, he is alive. Jesus, who you crucified, has become the capstone and is now the living Lord. And we had seen him. And we have been with him. And we know he's alive. And that gave them boldness. And to know that you and I have a living Savior gives us confidence and boldness because the world does not know him. The world is hopeless, but we have a living Lord. Amen? That gives us boldness. And also, we have a life-saving message. Peter looked at them. Imagine the courage and boldness here. The people that crucified, ordered Jesus' death, looks to them and said, you crucified him, and salvation is found in no other name but the name of Jesus Christ. Why could he do that? Because we have a life-saving message. And Jesus knew, and Peter and John knew that here these guys were the religious leaders, but they were lost, they were blind. Jesus called them blind guides. And unless they repented, they would be lost and on their way to hell. It didn't matter that they were religious leaders. And often we're afraid to speak up to people when they're in their sin because we don't want to offend them. But yet, we have a message that can save their lives, friends. And it's not loving for us to remain silent. Because we are confident in the truth, aren't we? And what we believe is true, right? We can be bold in that and confident. And we have a triumphant King. Our Lord died and rose again. And our King, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, has triumphed over death and the grave. And he has won. Scripture tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that keep your senses and be watchful because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. To get that, Satan has a roar, but the Bible says he is like a roaring lion. He's not a lion. He's like a roaring lion. And his roar can be fearful. But our Lord is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's not like a lion. He is the Lion. And our God is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he is roaring with power. And he is fighting our battles for us. And we have a victorious Lord. Amen? And we can stand strong in that. So the Lion of the tribe of Judah has triumphed, as it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And it tells us in Revelation that every tear will be wiped from our eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things passed away, and he is making everything new. And we have a Lord who has triumphed, and we know the end of the story. Our God won. Satan is defeated. He is done. He is crushed. And we are confident in that truth, aren't we? So we can be bold to know that we have a life-saving message and a King who is the victorious one. But we often are afraid to speak courageously. The power of the Holy Spirit, being with Jesus and being confident in the truth, gives us the ability to stand firm. But boldness also comes from being loving to others. You say, well, how do you get that? Well, verse 12, Peter and John looked right at this man at the Sanhedrin and said to them this life-saving message, this loving message. Salvation is found in no other name except in the name of Jesus Christ. And you say, how was that loving? Because they were lost. And it was loving for them to point out the fact that their salvation is found in Christ. Because it is not loving to leave others in their sin. You know, and our culture tells us that if you were not loving, we say we're haters when we say that people can't be married that are the same sex. Or we're haters when we say this or that. We're not haters, we're lovers. Because if we love people, we don't want them to be lost in their sin, right? And it's not loving to let people know they're in a sinful lifestyle and not to confront that. You don't love your children when your children were growing up if they did something wrong and you just let them go and didn't discipline them. That's not loving not to discipline your kids when they're doing something wrong. Love points and shows that there is a way better. And it's not loving to let people in their sin. And that's what Peter and John did. They said salvation is only found in Christ. And unless you repent, you're going to be lost. It doesn't matter you're the religious leaders, the rulers of the people. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 to 15, Paul said, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that Christ, one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who lived in him should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Paul says that Christ's love compels us to share that good news and to be bold, because it's not loving to let people in their sin, and it's not loving to let people believe that many ways lead to God. In our world today, that we say if there's only one way that salvation is found and no other way, we're considered bigoted and intolerant. But that's the truth of God, and it's not loving to let people think that they can get to God any way they want. There is only one way, and it's through Jesus Christ. Salvation is found in no other. And so by being loving to others, as Christ loves us, and that word love means to seek the well-being of someone else, we become bold. And fifth, boldness comes from being obedient when threatened. Peter and John then, as they were brought before the Sanhedrin, they dismissed them and they said, we need to discuss this matter. So they went into a private meeting, often like we do in the Board of Examiners after we examine someone and we had them come before us. Then we dismiss them and we go into a private discussion and we discuss what are we going to do. And they had a private meeting and discussed how are we going to handle this. Everybody knows that this man's been healed. We can't deny it. It's very plain. We can't say it didn't happen. So what are we going to do? So they said, well, to keep it from spreading anymore so that no more people will believe in the name of Jesus, we're going to threaten them. And we're going to threaten them. If they speak in the name of Jesus anymore, harm's going to come to them. We'll threaten their life. That will keep them quiet. So they called them back in, and they said, you can't speak anymore or teach anymore in this name. No more. And what did they do? They said, verse 19, Peter says, judge for yourself what it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. And when they were threatened, they continued to obey God first. And there may be times in our country when our country would make a law and say, as a believer, you are no longer allowed to do this or exercise your faith in the way that we believe. In that case, we stand up and we obey God first. And when we obey God, when we are threatened, that gives boldness to know that we love God first. And we're going to stand alone if we have to because of our love for Him. Peter and John, when they were threatened, they were brought before them. And they said, don't speak in that name. And they said, we must obey God first. When you and I find our faith assaulted or under attack, or when we're threatened, and fortunately we live in a country where to be a Christian doesn't mean death for us. what our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world and other parts of the country to name the name of Jesus and to gather together means death for them, and their life is threatened. George prays often for the persecuted church. But yet they stand strong when their life is threatened because they're bold in their faith because they love Jesus. But yet we may find ourselves threatened in other ways. Maybe by family. Whenever you love Christ and maybe some within your family don't respect your faith and may ridicule for that or doesn't accept that. And it's a price we have to pay, but standing bold for what we believe and not compromising it. Peter, another case was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they were threatened, whenever King Nebuchadnezzar had built an idol of gold and said, you must bow before it whenever I hear the sound of the trumpet. You must bow before it. If you don't, you will be put into the fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego obeyed God amidst that threat and said, I will not bow. We will not compromise. And they did not bow before that idol. And they stood alone in courage. King Nebuchadnezzar was mad. He had the furnace heated 7 times hotter than normal. They threw him into the fiery furnace, and Jesus met them there. And their obedience, even when their life was threatened, they were bold. Another one was Daniel. When the king had passed a decree that no one could pray to any god other than him for 30 days, Daniel opened up his window where everybody could see him, and he knelt down and he prayed boldly before the Lord, even when his life was threatened and he knew that he'd be thrown into the lion's den. And God was faithful and protected him. And then there was the cowardly lion, our friend. Whenever he was told, and his courage that was so that we live in so often, he was told that Dorothy was locked up in the witch's castle. And the scarecrow was making the plan. He says, we have to go in there and rescue Dorothy. And the lion said, I'll do it for Dorothy. And he found the courage when his life was threatened, and he joined in that assault, and he went in and found his courage when his life was threatened. He still obeyed and did what was right. Bringing into our modern day, there is a man by the name of Jack Phillips who lived in Colorado, who lives in Colorado, and has a bakery. And people came to him and asked him to make a cake for a gay wedding. He refused. Because he said, I cannot believe that, I cannot endorse that, my faith will not allow me to do it. The state went after him and shut him down, remember that? It went all the way to the Supreme Court, he lost his business. But he stood strong, even when his faith was threatened, he still was obedient to Christ. That's what God calls us to do. Then there was this guy, Martin Luther. Martin Luther was a priest in 1500s in Germany. And as he began to study the scripture, realized that the church had so departed from the truth of God's word. And got into selling indulgences where for money, you could pay certain money, and if you paid so much, you could get people out of purgatory, you could shorten your time in hell, and all this stuff. And he began to see how corrupt the church had become, and he began to speak out against that. He nailed 95 theses to the door of Wittenberg of how the church had been corrupted. And he led the Reformation and the teaching that we're saved by faith alone, not by any works that we do. And the Protestant Reformation was born. That happened in 1517. But in 1521, he was called into account at the Diet of, it's called Worms, not Worms. He didn't eat worms. That's just how it was pronounced, Worms, Germany. And he was brought before the authorities of the church council again. And they questioned him. And they said, you need to recant your faith. You need to recant what you're preaching and what you're teaching because your heresy, we're going to condemn you as a heretic. They gathered together the authority of the church and the state of that time in Germany. And King Charles, the Holy Roman Emperor, Charles V, gathered them together there along with the church councils and the popes, and they gathered them together to condemn and to give him a chance to recant. And as they questioned him, about ready to condemn him for heresy, this is what he said. Quote, he said, "Since your majesty and your lordships desire a simple reply, I will answer without horns or teeth. Unless I am convinced by scripture and by plain reason, and I do not believe in the authority of either popes or councils by themselves, for it is plain that they have erred and contradicted each other. And these scriptures that I have presented, for my conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything, for it goes against conscience, is neither right nor safe. Here I stand, I can do no other. God help me, amen." Here I stand, I can do no other, I will not recount. The same as Peter and John when they were brought before the authorities of their day. Peter says, Martin Luther says, "I am convinced on the truth of the word of God, and I will not. And if here I stand, if I need to stand alone, I will stand alone, I will do none else." And he went on to write those famous hymn, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amidst the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For he still our ancient foe to seek to work us woe. His craft and power great and armed with cruel hate on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. But we're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Thus ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is he, Lord Sabbath his name, from age to age the same. He must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. For his rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word will fail him." Praise God. That's boldness. Coming from the strength of the Lord, the confidence in the truth, and being with Jesus, and even when threatened, to stand strong and obedient. Then there was the man in closing, a man by the name of John Huss, who lived 100 years prior to Martin Luther, from 1369 to 1415, 100 years, he was killed 100 years prior to the Reformation. John Huss was a priest in Bohemia, now Czechoslovakia, and the city of Prague. And he preached faithfully there and boldly on the truth of the word of God. And in that time, the Catholic Church, the church did not allow people to read the word of God. They had the sermons in Latin so people couldn't understand them. They weren't allowed to read the scripture for their own. John Huss believed that people should be able to understand and read the word of God in its own language. He began to preach so that people could understand it. He also railed against indulgences and the selling of money to get people out of purgatory. And he began to preach faith in Christ alone. And this is what he said: seek the truth, listen to the truth, teach the truth, love the truth, abide in the truth, defend the truth until death. John Huss was brought before the authorities of that day, the Catholic Church and the Catholic authorities, and condemned him as a heretic because of his faith, and said unless he recants, they were going to burn him at the stake. But he boldly proclaimed Christ, and he said, "O Holy Spirit, enlighten their deceived hearts so that the truth of the Holy Gospel may open their eyes and his praise be spread forever, forever and ever. Amen." And even when his life was threatened by the religious authorities, he boldly stood strong and proclaimed the truth and would not compromise. Watch this as we see his last words.
John Huss, this is your last chance to recant and abjure all your errors.
I call God to witness that all I have written and preached has been to rescue souls from sin. There can be no turning back. My Lord walked the paths of truth and duty, even though it took him to Calvary. Can I, one of his humble followers, turn back now? To witness to God's truth is more important than life. Joyfully, then, will I confirm with my blood all the writings and preachings of truths that I've held.
Into thy hands, O Lord, I commit my spirit.
Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon fire and sore. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whenever we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death.
The righteous are as bold as a lion. Here I stand. I could do no other. If it have meant standing alone, not being like the cowardly lion, but being bold in the name of Jesus, proclaiming it that we love him, even in a world that does not. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the example of Peter and John, and many who have gone before us in the hall of the fame of faithful, who have stood boldly and strongly in a world that was hostile to you. We fight against a strong enemy, but he roars, but you are the lion who has just defeated him. And in the midst of his threats, may we not be quiet, may we not be timid, but may we be bold and strong in you and strong in the Spirit and stand boldly for the name of Jesus that we proclaim, not just when we are in the walls here, but we are outside in a world where we feel outnumbered, where we feel that no one else around us may love you, but yet we love you and we stand strong. Lord, may we be filled with your Spirit. May we can be confident in your truth, spend that time with you, and be obedient even when we're threatened, that increase our boldness, Lord, for you did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of boldness and self-discipline. So may we boldly say, salvation is found in no other but in the name of Jesus, and here we stand, we will do none other. For you, our Lord, the Lamb of God, have triumphed, and you call us to take our stand for you on a world that so desperately needs to know that there is only a way through you. So thank you, Lord, for your word that is relevant for our life. As we take our stand today at our time, as we boldly proclaim and lift high the name of Jesus. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.